You're listening to WBH Radio. I'm your host, William Holly. Thank you for tuning in. Joining us today is a gentleman I've really been looking forward to speaking with. He is a professional broadcaster, having worked with NBA TV, the NFL Network, Cartoon Network, and this summer you will hear him calling 3x3 Olympic Games for NBC. Ladies and gentlemen, none other than the voice of 3x3 basketball, Mr. Kyle Montgomery. Kyle, welcome, sir.
Well, I appreciate that, man. You know, you got me. You got some nice intro, bro. I got nothing to say, but I'm humble. I appreciate it, man. I'm happy to be on.
That's your resume, brother. I'm just reading the bio. In fact, there's not too many people in your position that can say they got Cartoon Network on their bio, man. What was that like?
I'm telling you, it's been a wild ride for me. It was a lot of grind and a little luck. I stole that from Big Sean. That's a line that he said in one of his joints. But I put my head down and I worked as hard as I could. I tried to be the best that I could. And when you do that, sometimes the right people notice you.
Okay.
So the way that came about was I initially got hired at NBA TV to be a digital host for a show that was supposed to cross two platforms. It was called The Jump. I was doing it. It was a .com show that they also aired on NBA TV. I did the highlights, the top 10 plays. That was about my first year or so. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was a young dude. When I got that job, I was 24 years old. So, you know, I added a youthful kind of flavor to my NBA work.
Yeah.
Some of the executives at Cartoon Network noticed that and they said, listen, you know, they had a kids cartoon basketball show in the works, and they felt like I could be a good fit for it. So here I am a year into this job at Turner Sports, adapting to be, you know, on national TV and all over the web. And now I got Cartoon Network, another branch of Turner Sports, saying, hey, we want you to do this too. So yeah, that's how Cartoon Network came about.
That's dope. That's dope, brother. That's dope. As a professional broadcaster, how is it to kind of cater to different audiences? Like, how much of a challenge is that for you?
It has been quite a challenge throughout my career, you know, because we've seen culture change, you know, a lot in the last decade. I've been doing it for 15 years, but it wasn't a hip hop lingo. Whatever you want to call it, wasn't always popular. Mm-hmm. You didn't even hear rap music or beats like that on the commercials, but now you see it's really prevalent throughout sports. Mm-hmm. You can't see a sports game or watch sports content on TV or whether it be whatever network without it having that tie. Mm-hmm. So when I first got into the business, you know, I had to work in small markets and, you know, Montgomery, Alabama, Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And I remember one of the people I worked with, they told me, they said, you know, we're not looking for another Stuart Scott. You know, he was saying that because he felt like I was putting too much flavor on what I was saying. He was like, you know, the people here in this city, you know, they don't understand when you say he got yammed on.
Right.
You know, sometimes you got to simplify it for our art. So I had to tailor some of you know, who I was and my approach to fit what that particular market or that particular station needed. But I didn't want to sacrifice myself too much because I had to be authentic. So it was always very difficult, like I said, to find that balance of being authentic and being creative, but also not presenting the content in a way to where it's going to alienate any audience, if you know what I mean.
For sure. For sure, man. That's amazing, man. That's why they pay you the big bucks, though. Because
look, man, I don't know about that.
I know in doing my podcast, like when I first learned that my mom was listening, I was like, oh, snap, hold up. I might have to clean some of this up, man. So I'm sure it's a challenge catering and to different audiences, different sports. That's amazing, man. That's amazing. Let's talk about this 3x3 basketball.
Yeah.
Kyle, when is the first time you became aware of the sport? The first time it crossed your radar?
First time it crossed my radar was in 2015. I got a, you know, it's been a story of my career, similar to the Cartoon Network job kind of coming to me. this was a job that kind of came to me out of nowhere. 2015, I'm in LA. I'm working for Fox Sports, covering the Clippers games. I'm working with the NFL Network. I get a random email from these two guys with FIBA, and they're telling me, hey, you know, you don't know who we are, but we used to listen to your highlights when you worked for NBA.com. We're big fans. We now have this big thing going on with FIBA 3x3. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm reading the email and I'm like, man, FIBA 3x3, what is this? Right. So, you know, I wasn't really aware, but they gave me the calendar of events and some of the places they were going to be holding tournaments. And we agreed to, for me to come out, check the game out, call a game, see how it felt. You know, I had never called play-by-play prior to. The only thing I did was highlights for .com. And so, you know, I was a little bit apprehensive initially.
I'm sure.
And then I decided, I looked at the calendar. I said, you know, I'll be able to get out of the country. I'll actually be able to see what this game is really all about. So, yep, 2015. That's when it hit the radar. My first tournament, I went to Switzerland. And called the game, you know, I can't even listen back to it now. It was terrible. My broadcasting journey is something different.
Right. Hold on, Kyle. So you just going about your day and you get a random email. First off, that's just a credit to your work. Like you said, putting your head down and grinding, right? Now, you are working big-time sports, Los Angeles Clippers, NBA. And then you get this email from this FIBA, the sport you're not even familiar with. Like, how, I guess, maybe scary was it? Or what was that conversation you had internally regarding going on and taking that leap and putting energy into 3x3?
Yeah, well, it was most of the people I knew that I mentioned it to tried to really talk me out of it. It was like, you know, nah, it's not good for your brand. Like, here's your brand. You have an NBA background, cover the NBA now. You're in the United States. You work for both major leagues here. Nobody knows who FIBA 3x3 is.
Yeah.
What is that? Most people thought it was soccer.
Right.
When I told them, they was like, FIBA, is that soccer? You know, it's like, nah, it's a version of 3-on-3 basketball. And automatically, you know, people tend to kind of side-eye 3-on-3 because it's viewed as secondary. You know, the 5-on-5 NBA is
for
the
sure.
creme de la creme.
For sure.
So there was definitely that sense of people like, man, Kyle, what are you going to do that for? But I've always been a gambler in my career. And for me, it's not always about like a money situation. Sometimes it's about having an opportunity to be a part of something that's brand new. And if you see great potential in it, then it's potential to have something really rewarding if you get to the point to where you want to get to. So I saw that in 3x3 and I said, you know, I'm a small fish in a big pond, so to speak, at an NFL Network or an NBA TV or things like that. But here's an opportunity for me to be somewhat of a big fish in a small pond. I mean, big fish meaning having a big impact, a big influence, right. Being featured as a part of the presentation of the sport. I kind of like that better because, you know, they allowed me to kind of have the freedom to dictate, you know, how I wanted to do the commentary. You know, it's a really important part of the presentation of the game. And they didn't restrict me. They you know, they say, do your thing. Even when it's scary sometimes you say something that's a little, but you know, we grew together and they gave me that freedom and now here we are.
Yeah, I got introduced to the game through a gentleman I competed with in college, a gentleman by the name of Dominique Jones. And I'm watching 3x3 and the first time I saw it, man, I fell in love with it. What do you guys call it, a 10-minute sprint?
Yeah.
It's very fast. I'm thinking, oh, it's 3-on-3 pickup like Sunday at the Y with the old heads. But that's not it. So, Kyle, you said they introduced you to the game. You started out, said, let me check it out. When did you say, okay, I'm all in? What was it about the sport that said, you know what, I'm here?
It was the second tournament, that first year. LaSalle was good. I was like, okay. You know, I went overseas for the first time. You know, I'm from the hood. So I didn't really know what a passport was until I got older. It just wasn't a need for it. So right. I had been overseas. I had covered one tournament. And then I went to Mexico City. And you mentioned my guy, Damo. This was when I first saw Disco Damo. And on New York Harlem, mm-hmm. there's a dude named Paris Kiles that was hooping out there too. And was that Team San Juan? I think New York Harlem and San Juan went all the way to the final. Mm-hmm. And they ended up barely beating them. They beat them by a buzzer beater in the corner. But it was that tournament. And I said, I saw the real potential of the game. Mm-hmm. The buzzer beaters, the quickness, the high intensity, the back and forth of the game. And, you know, I also had a little bit better feel of the challenge it was going to be for me, you know, calling play by play. And I liked it initially. I said, okay, I got to keep up. This is quick. I can't stop talking. I got to cut. And from that point on, I said, okay, this is something I want to roll with. And 6 years later, here we are heading to the Olympics. Yeah. I wouldn't have guessed on this.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. How would you describe the game to somebody who'd never seen it, man? Like, what are some features that really stick out to you? I know for me, I love the fact that when a team scores, you got to take it out the net, clear it, and we right back to action.
Yeah, the first thing that stands out is the quickness of the game. Mm-hmm. You know, you get used to watching 5-on-5. You got a 24-second shot clock. You know, they get to walk the ball up the court. It is the nonstop intensity. Mm-hmm. Offense is turning to defense just like that. You're seeing the ebbs and the flows of the game happen instantaneously. I think it works well, too, with where we are, you know, just as a culture now. We, you know, we want to see things quick, fast, instant. You know, people like to see the highlights, on their phone. And here we have that kind of condensed into, you know, a 10-minute game. The other thing I like about 3x3 and that it's a little bit different than what you would see on 5-on-5 is there's nowhere to hide. You can get exposed if you're out there, you know, on this half court, three players. You got to D up.
Yes.
And not only do you have to D up, you got to be a willing rebounder. You got to be, you know, a willing passer in 3x3. You know, so there's nowhere to hide. You can't be a big and kind of hide within the offense or even take a couple plays off because, you know, each player on the court is so important to, you know, what's happening. So, you know, that's a big difference. You know, the fact that it's a 21-point game, it's a little bit more physical than what I think people are accustomed to seeing with 5-on-5. Mm-hmm. So, the young kids like the quick videos. It's TikTok.
Yeah.
Compared to, say, 5-on-5, it's like YouTube, yeah. You know, to give you a new age reference, if you feel me.
For sure. Kyle, where were you when you learned that 3x3 is going to the Olympics? That's 2017 when it came out that the IOC said 3x3 is going to be an Olympic sport. You said you started in 2015, so you had been working with FIBA and 3x3 for 2 years. What was it like when word came down?
It was euphoria amongst, you know, the FIBA staff. Mm-hmm. And there were people who had been a part of the movement well before, you know, I joined. You know, they started the Pro Tour in 2012, and the first international event was in 2010. So there's a lot of people who are still on the staff from those days. So, you know, they were through the roof. I mean, they were from the ground floor. I came in about, you know, 5 years into the development. But with that said, mm-hmm. I was still ecstatic because, I couldn't believe that it had actually happened. The gamble that I had taken, not knowing, and they did tell me initially that, you know, we hope for this to one day be an Olympic sport, mm-hmm. and we're making the pitch to do that. But at that time when I joined, there was nothing guaranteed. And, you know, I was thinking, great, you know, I would love for it to be an Olympic sport. That would be good. But I wasn't sure if the world was, if it was going to become popular enough globally to where it could draw the attention of the Olympic Committee and really get the approval. I knew that it was something I wanted to be a part of professionally, and I was willing to roll with it, whether it panned out for the Olympics or not. But now that it, to see that it did, to hear that announcement on June, I think, 9th, 2017, like I was, where was I at? I think I was in France. I think I was at a tournament. And our communications manager, Julian DeBoeuf, he elbowed me. He was like, "We're going to the Olympics."
Wow.
I said, "What?" He said, "Yep." Yeah. So it wasn't, you know, he, it was official then. And, you know, we all celebrated and started preparing for, you know, what we're about to see here in what, less than 3 weeks?
Less than 3 weeks, indeed. Indeed. Yeah. And I was just thinking about that kind of like through your lens, because yes, you're happy for the sport, but for you personally, like, you took a leap of faith. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, 2015, you said your friends were like, "Kyle, come on, man. You may not want to do this little 3x3 thing." And then 2 years later, it's an Olympic sport. 2021, here you are getting ready to broadcast 3x3 for the Olympics. And not only that, but you are the voice of 3x3. You are synonymous with the sport, man. What's that like? You like, when I watch UFC, I want to hear Joe Rogan. And when you watch 3x3, the voice, the highlights, everything you hear is Kyle Montgomery, man. What's it's, that like?
It's humbling. It's humbling, bro, honestly.
You put the work in. You earned it.
You know, really, I you know, I think back and I have put in a lot of work. But you never know when you're a creative, when you're an artist, you know, when you share that creativity with a broad audience, there's always a little bit of hesitancy because, you know, you want people to like what you came up with. Sure. You want people to like, you know, your craft. So, you know, I was courageous enough to gamble. FIBA was courageous enough to let somebody who has a little bit different style and presentation when it comes to calling sports. And, you know, for me to become what, you know, like a name that's synonymous with, you know, a particular sport, you know, it's hard to grasp. It's, it's weird because, you know, people showing love, bro, is, I mean, it just warms your heart, man. It makes me feel good to know that people appreciate, you know, my effort and what I do. Now, with that said, I got a lot of lines I would take back. You know, sometimes I'm like, "Oh man, I gotta tighten up. They like me. I know they call me the voice, but man, I gotta make sure I'm on my game." So every year, I challenge myself to get better, you know, to be current, to, you know, to try to bring more creativity.
Hold on, Kyle. Let's talk about that creativity. Let's talk about those lines. If you could help me and the audience out, what is a Kyle-ism?
The definition of a Kyle-ism, it's a lot of things. It could be a rap, a bar, translated to a hoop line.
Mm-hmm.
It could be something in real life, like if you ever taste the orange juice after you brush your teeth, it's nasty. Mm-hmm. So when I say nastier than toothpaste and orange juice, people get the reference. Yes. Yes. So it's that, it's me growing up in the streets and talking stuff with my friends.
Let me give some of these to the audience. Ladies and gentlemen, when Kyle calls a game, very colorful, a lot of hip hop references, a lot of pop references or current events that he references. I got some here. Toying with him like a Happy Meal. Okay? I like that one. When Kyle was describing somebody that hit a very deep three, he said, "Yo, that was deeper than poetry night." That's one of my favorites, bro. I like that. But what else I got here? On the move like the lease is up. Guy moving. Cleaning things up like the Board of Health. Guy dominating the boards. But one of my favorites, you talk about somebody that got stupid hops, somebody that could jump. My man Kyle Montgomery said, "Kelly Bundy hops, just dumb." Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know, Kelly Bundy was a character on Married with Children, early 90s sitcom. And for lack of a better word, the character's pretty dumb. So, God, that's dope, man. What are some of your favorites, bro?
Oh, man. You might have named that. Let me see. You did him dirtier than 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, man.
I like that one. Man, but you had me rolling with not a lot of people remember the Kelly Bundy line. I said that one a while ago, but because a lot of people, they're not from that era, they don't, so that's another challenge too.
I'm sure
it's saying a bar that the majority of people are going to get, but there's going to be a group that don't get it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Kyle, do these colorisms like dominate your life? Are you out with dinner with your family and say, "Hold on, man, let me write this down, man"?
Yeah. No, really. If I think of something creative or I see something that I can tie together, I will try to either embed it. I try to challenge myself mentally a lot to just try to see if I can remember it for if that moment comes up. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And sometimes I'll jot some down too. If it's one that I don't want to forget, I say, this would be dope. If I ever get in a situation to where this happens, then I think I can drop this. So it's a delicate balance that you try to find. You know, you don't always have that moment in the game. Mm-hmm. But just calling the game within itself, I'm allowed to add some of those little bars and little flavor throughout.
Now, Kyle, the games that I saw, you were in the booth by yourself. I guess play-by-play and color. Is that how it normally goes? Is that what we could expect in the Olympics?
It's not what's going to be the format for the Olympics. And it's not really really customary. It was something new, too, with FIBA, doing play-by-play solo. Mm-hmm. I think the game itself kind of allows for that because it's so quick. It oftentimes can be difficult when you have two personalities, trying to get in a point, trying to actually call the play, all at the same time. Now we can make it work because I do the 3x3 U National Championship here in the States with Robbie Hummel. And, I've had guest commentators on FIBA 3x3, several times. So the dynamic does work. It just so happens that, it also works for me to do it solo, when I'm doing 3x3 events. For the Olympics, I'm going to be with the young phenom, Noah Eagle, 22 years old, covering pro hoops. He does the Clippers radio broadcast. Obviously, his father is Ian Eagle. He's a broadcasting legend. Yeah. So, it's going to be cool to join forces with him. He's going to handle the play-by-play. I'm going to be more of the do more of the color commentary, which is a little bit of a different role for me. But I'm always up for the challenge. Mm-hmm.
Got you. Definitely look forward to this branded as 2020 Tokyo Olympics. Now, Kyle, one team that will not be participating in these Olympics is the U.S. men's national team. It was a few weeks ago. What was it? Austria?
I didn't hear that question. My bad.
I said one team that will not be a part of the Olympics is the USA men's 3x3 national team.
Yeah.
What was it? A few weeks ago, they went to Austria looking to qualify, and they were unable to do so. A team of Dominique Jones, Kareem Maddox, Robbie Hummel, and Joey King filling in for Canyon Barry. What was the sentiments like after everyone learned that the U.S. men's national team failed to qualify? What was it like there in Austria?
Well, it depends because when you're in Austria, you're outside of U.S. borders.
Yeah.
And when you're outside of U.S. borders, there's a lot of countries who frankly, they cheer when the USA loses.
Yeah.
And they it's how about the USA? It was kind of like that type, but from some, I think it was a shock for most. And obviously if he was from the United States, then you know, it was tough. It was devastating for the players and hard for me to see, you know, them kind of, you know, having to go through that, you know, given the expectations that, you know, the United States has when it comes to basketball. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I got a lot of people, you know, it was one of the first topics of conversation. I'm over there for two Olympic qualifier tournaments. And, you know, it frankly, it's, you know, it's different. It's going to be different not to have a USA men's team in the competition. We do have a very, very, and not, I'm not rooting for any team. So when I say we,
for sure,
you know, I'm impartial, but I'm saying in terms of the United States, like you saw what the women's team was able to do. So, I mean, we still have an outstanding female United States team that is going to compete, but we're just growing accustomed to seeing both. For and sure. So, you know, not having one this year, you know, it's unfortunate.
What do you think the impact will be for USA basketball, or what's their reaction, or maybe the fallout following this failure to qualify for the Olympics? Because I tell you, Kyle, I was excited about the team because these guys are like the everyday guys. They they have jobs. You know, Damo works as in a juvenile justice center. Robbie Hummel is a color commentator for ESPN. And then they go ahead and they compete on a national level, and they had opportunity to win a gold medal and qualify, try and fight for the Olympics. And that's something we don't see, especially in the sport of basketball. It's usually the pros and stuff. And I think when the world sees these Olympics, there's going to be questions on Twitter like, hold on, where's the USA men's basketball team? And I think USA basketball is going to try to fill the ranks with pros the next time around. And
I think they're going to show up with a new, with 3x3 version of the Dream Team.
Yeah.
Because the United States has a proud basketball history. Mm-hmm. And we certainly do not qualify. And I think that the United States is going to make absolutely sure that not only that they put a collection of players together that you know, that have the talent, but also have the time to develop chemistry. I think that, you know, and that's not to say that they didn't do it the right way now, because we have a star-studded roster. Mm-hmm. Robbie Hummel, former NBA player. We know Disco Damo, MVP of the World Tour 2019.
Yes, sir.
Lee Maddox is a baller. Joey King came to play. Thought he probably played the best on the team. But it was just one of those unfortunate strokes of bad luck. Kenya Barry with the back issue, it changes the roster at the last minute. And you're talking about two different types of players. Mm-hmm. You got big 6'9" Joey King, and you have more of a slasher guard in Kenya Barry. So it changed the whole dynamic of how they played last minute. And I think it affected the way they play. But, you know, in between the lines, no excuses. Mm-hmm. You got out there, you got the people out there who you got out there, and that's who you got to win with. They didn't do it. So now we got a little egg on our face. But come 2024, that USA squad is going to be crazy. Watch.
Give us some teams to look out for in this 2021 Olympics. Some teams, not only teams, but some players.
Oh, man, it's a long list. I think, who's the hottest team right now? Belgium's the hottest team right now. They got this guard. He's about 6'5". His name is Thibaut Vervoort. They 1-4, though. Belgium is crazy. I don't know how these dudes have picked up the game as quickly as they have. they run it through everybody. And you want to talk about an ideal 3x3 team in terms of great size. You know, everybody's about 6'5". I think their tallest player is Rafael Bogerts. He's 6'7". And, you know, great defender. He's a shooter. Keep an eye on them. Look out for Poland. For whatever reason, Poland is a team that people tend to easily count out.
Right.
But you look at Poland's pedigree, their history in recent years, they've taken down the top dogs. They beat Serbia for a bronze medal at the World Cup in Amsterdam. You saw him become the first team to earn an Olympic ticket out in Graz. Michael Money in the Bank Hicks, he was another player who I saw in my first year of 3x3 that kind of helped me, give me the push to say this is a game that I want to cover. He's the real deal. So look out for them. I don't think you can look past Latvia. You know, you can't talk about, you know, top teams and top players without the top duo in the game, Carlos Lazmanis and Norris Miezis. They haven't looked in top form here in 2021, right. But I don't think it's anything to worry about. I think once they get to the Olympic stage, they'll knock off whatever rust they have. So they're a team that I think could contend for a medal. And then last but not least, Serbia. I don't know what the squad is going to be. But I do know that Dušan Bulic is going to be on that squad.
Gotcha.
And whoever you have on the squad with that killer, you're going to have a chance. It's just something about that Serbia team. It's something that's just a mystery around. We haven't seen a lot of them. They've been sitting back. We didn't see them in the qualifiers. And they've just been sitting back in the lab, watching teams, looking at film. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I can't count Serbia out. So, I mean, it's going to be a pretty competitive field.
I look forward to watching. And the Olympics is just one piece of 3x3. There's a whole tour going on outside of that. Real quick, Kyle, are you familiar with a school in Jamaica, Queens called York College?
No.
That's where I went to school. I played 2 years of basketball there. Mm-hmm. And I played with a gentleman, the All-American, Marcel Essaone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's my guy. I know he's on the tour. He's part of Team Harlem. How's he doing out there? He was one of the most electrifying, entertaining basketball players I've played with. The defense, the block shots, the dunks. How's he doing out there?
Hey, I like Essaone. I like Essaone. The long arms he got.
Yeah.
He's sneaky. He'll dunk on you without you expecting it. Obviously, he's a ferocious defender of the rim. And, you know, I think that, you know, they are better when he's on the court. They have that presence. Mm-hmm. He's got that engine. Yeah, he can go, man. He got my Defensive Player of the Year award, I think, the year before last. So I've always been a big fan of his game. And he's cool people, too.
That's what's up. Yeah. What's the rest of the year looking like for you as far as the calendar with 3x3? Outside of the Olympics, what are some things we could look out for?
It's going to be busy. We'll start the World Tour. Well, we'll restart the World Tour in August. I believe we start in Lausanne, Switzerland. We made a big announcement that Jetta is going to host the final. We got to stop in Debrecen. We got the Europe Cup coming up in September in Paris. So I'm looking forward to being out there. U23 World Cup coming up before the end of the year. There's some things popping off in the United States. There's the America Cup that's going down in Miami in November. Obviously, Red Bull's got a 20-city tour that they're launching here in the States as, you know, the United States continues to kind of grow the game here. So I may have some involvement there. Man, look, the calendar's full, but that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And I'm doing what I love.
That's dope, man. Kyle, I'm going to get you out of here on this. I think after these Olympics, you guys are out of here. This sport is about to go to another level. I mean, the next time I reach out to you, you're going to be like, I'll have my secretary get back to you, man. You're going to be that type of busy, man. Like, what's the future look like, bro?
It's bright. And I'm like you. We both fell in love with the game, you know, nearly on first sight. Mm-hmm. And that's just from two people who love hoop, who have played hoop, who, you know, really understand the nuances of the game and the things that really make the game beautiful. And, you know, I think 3x3 amplifies those things. Mm-hmm. You like crossovers, you're going to have people on an island on the wing all day long. you're gonna see some ankles get snatched. You like to see somebody get banged on. You're gonna see backdoor cuts. It's only one dude there to protect the rim. If you got an athletic player, you're gonna see people get banged on. You like to see people get shot on, you know, gunned down, splashed on. You got that. People
deeper than poetry back. Night.
That's what you got. So you know what I mean. So and you get that instantly. You know. So look, I think when the world sees it, you know, it's only been a select group of us who have been privy to 3x3 up until about this point. But when the world sees it, I think that they'll react in the way that you and I have, and that's they're going to fall in love with the game, with the format, you know, with the finishes. I'm glad to be a part of it. I'm glad to be a part of introducing this to the world. So, you know, I just want to do my part, man, you know.
That's it. Kyle, tell me about this podcast you got.
The Voice on 3x3 podcast is on your major podcast platforms right now. We just launched that thing today. Me and my guy, David Barr, was something I had been wanting to do. You know, I have a lot of 3x3 conversations with people behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. And, you know, nobody really ever gets to hear me, my perspective outside of when I'm calling the games. Mm-hmm. So we thought it was important to get another voice out there. Who better than The Voice, you know what I mean?
Yes, sir. Yes,
to have that platform. But we're all important, you know, your podcast included. So, you know, we want to continue to elevate the conversation with people that love the game, that appreciate the game, that know it, you know what I'm saying, like you do. And, you know, we all in the same family.
All right, great. I'll be waiting on my invite. Yes, ladies. Kyle, thank you, sir.
It's all good, man. I appreciate it. I enjoyed it.
That's what's up. I'm William Holly. This is WBH Radio. We're out.